You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Half Right Podcast. We are back again.
Of course.
I'm joined by my co-host, even though she doesn't like being called that for some reason.
Well, we're co-hosts.
We're each other's co-hosts. Okay, yeah. Understood. But anyway, I'm joined by my big sister, Lakia, and we're back for the second week in a row. And we
you
haven't
have
been
to
very.
Tell them who you are, though, just in case they forgot, you know.
They know who I am. I'm the voice.
Okay.
I'm the voice of the Half Right Podcast. I bring the personality to the pod. You get what I'm saying?
And I bring the structure. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Glad to know my role.
We work together, though. We don't work with, like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
Dynamic duo, Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Who's Batman, though?
Well, I mean,
You can be Batman. You can be Batman. I'll be Robin. You can be Batman.
Now that we have that settled, of who's Batman and Robin.
For this week. Next week you may have to. Yes.
Next week I might have to change. Now that I'm Batman.
You're the LeBron to my Dwayne Wade. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll take that.
All right.
So this episode is going to be all about John Moxley, for the most part.
Are we gonna talk? I feel like we have to give the people some super showdowns, predictions.
Definitely. That the huge chunk of this episode would be about Moxley. But do you want to do super showdown now, or you want to wait?
Let's do super showdown. I mean, I got time on my hands, you know.
So I want y'all to buckle up, because this is going to be a longer
episode. Because we could talk wrestling for days.
But this is a good one, because we have a lot to cover. So, yeah.
I'm currently playing WWE 2K right now.
Oh, look at you getting back in the spirit of things.
Got some universe mode going on. You feel me?
All right. So let's start off with Super Showdown. And then we'll move on to Moxley.
All right, we can do that. You know, you lead, I follow. That's kind of how this thing goes.
Well, because I have the notes, that's why. Anyway.
Okay.
First up, this is in no particular order because we don't know the damn order. I'm reading from CBS Sports. First up, we have Goldberg versus The Undertaker. Who's your pick?
The match isn't going to be anything, in my opinion, that's real, you know, extravagant or anything like that. I just think it's going to be, obviously, Goldberg's old, you know, Undertaker's old as dirt. I love their promos. Like, I loved Undertaker's promo on Monday, and I loved Goldberg's on Tuesday. But I feel like Undertaker has lost, you know, his last two big high-profile matches. You know, the match in Australia against Triple H, he lost. And then he lost the match with he didn't take the pinfall, but he lost the match at the last, Saudi Arabia show. So I'm going to have to go with Undertaker. I feel like Undertaker, these are two legends. No one needs to win more. It's going to be a quick match, but I think Taker will get the win.
I'm going to give it to Goldberg.
Okay, I understand
I mean,
that.
For the fact that Goldberg, I don't know. I just feel like Undertaker is not as agile in the ring as he used to be, and Goldberg just seems to be a little more limber. So I'm gonna go with Goldberg.
Okay.
All right, so next up we have the Universal Championship, Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin. Seth Rollins is the champ, for those that don't know.
As bad as this sounds,
I don't know. Okay,
I'm gonna have to go with I'm gonna have to go with Seth beats Baron, and Brock finally cashes in on Seth.
I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that, and we're going to put the WWE Championship in here because it's a twofold. Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler. I think that Brock Lesnar is hoaxing everybody with the whole Universal thing, and that he would cash in on Kofi because that's going to get him to SmackDown.
You know what? You know what, Lakia? You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you. I believe that at this, I believe Brock Lesnar is cashing in that briefcase tomorrow. He's going to leave Saudi Arabia with a title. And you're right. It's more likely that he leaves Saudi Arabia with the WWE Championship than the Universal. So.
And my theory on that is based off the Fox deal. They need a way to get him on SmackDown, you know.
But you know WWE, they lack logic. They don't really give a damn if they explain. True. So they're
but I think that Brock Lesnar is going to, the joke's going to be on everybody that's like, oh my God, he killed Seth. But I would like to see something. What did you think about the whole Becky thing with Seth when he was leaving? What do you think about them, you know, keep hinting at that? We know it's a relationship, but what do you think about them like bringing it to the forefront?
I'm gonna be real. This may be an unpopular opinion. I don't really think that you need, like, you don't. We don't need a Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch relationship story. Like, I feel like their characters are good on their own. I like the real, like the because that's real. That's kind of like, you know, they call blurring the lines. Mm-hmm. So that's real life. Like, they really are a couple in real life. You get what I'm saying? But you know,
this is the second time that Becky has been brought into this Seth Brock feud. Let's take note of that. When Paul Heyman said it, that you were sitting around backstage waiting for the main event, and now he gets beat up by Brock. Okay, he didn't get beat up. He got his ass kicked by Brock, and Becky got in the ambulance with him. So it's the second time I feel something brewing, but I feel something brewing like you said before, the steam of Becky kind of fell off after Mania. It's not that same intensity. It's not the same intensity we had when, you know, they invaded Raw and she got punched in the face and she was just, you know, literally fighting. She reached the mountaintop. Now I think they need to get that, you know, that nitty gritty side again. And that promo that she cut on Monday was amazing. I enjoyed it. Because I'm a little over Lacey. Lacey looks a little sloppy in the ring, but anyway.
Yes. I'm going to have to
agree. That match against Charlotte was a little sloppy.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
But, I mean, I don't know. That's the only reason why I'm kind of torn between Brock, you know, cashing in. Because, honestly, why does Brock have to cash in Saudi Arabia? I can see him coming and just fucking shit up and then just leaving.
Yeah, but I'm be real. It's kind of like what people are saying. It's like the WCW thing with how they keep baiting and switching us. Like, you keep telling us something's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. It's pretty annoying.
Well, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar at this point are annoying. I mean, we were at WrestleMania. We had that sigh of relief when Seth Rollins finally won the Universal Championship. The Universal Championship that was being held by Brock. So we finally got that sigh of relief, and then all of a sudden at Money in the Bank, he's back. What the fuck? Like, we thought we got rid of you. Why are you here? So when it comes to the Universal Championship, putting Brock aside, who you have as the winner?
Seth.
And WWE Championship, who do you have as the winner?
Phenomenal match. It's probably going to be the best on the show. I'm going to go with Kofi.
I think that Kofi's going to retain. I'm going to put him going in. I can see both of them retaining going into SummerSlam, to be honest.
I thought that's how it should be.
Yeah. You know, give them a little bit of a reign, you know. I don't know who's going to take the title from Kofi, honestly. Big E should take the title from Kofi.
Yes, as I said on last week's pod, I believe he should.
But, I mean, that's not something that they should rush right now. Let that build.
Yes, they should. But I'm going to be real with you. Kofi could have lost the WWE title the night after WrestleMania. And I would have been upset. But I would have been like, okay, he won it. At least he won it. Like, that's all I wanted to see happen. So
everything I'm honestly surprised he's had it for this long.
Me too.
I thought he would have dropped it at the first pay-per-view. I really did. Especially against, like, someone like Kevin Owens, I thought he would have dropped the title. Because we all know that Kevin and Vince, they're like buddies. All right. Moving on from the title pictures. Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon. In no world will Shane McMahon, like, literally beat Roman. I don't like this angle at all. As you said in the last episode, that Roman, with him coming back, they had to put him in something, because what is life without Roman? Hence why they did this wild card thing, so he could be on Raw and SmackDown. It's like we had that Roman break and we were happy he came back, but now they're shoving Roman down our throats. Again, with his typical Vince fashion. But now it's not like Roman, you know, talking shit and being the big dog. Are you hungry?
I'm starving.
Okay, great. So,
I'm doing a bodybuilding competition. So, you know, I got to eat every like 10 minutes.
Oh, great. Good for you.
So, I'm lying.
I know you are. So the thing about Roman now, as I said before, is that he can't really be that heel again. Because of what he went through and how they're changing his persona and bringing in more of Joe and not just Roman. So, I mean, I want Roman to win this match. There's no way in the world that I want Shane to win, but who's your pick?
Roman.
Moving on, because I don't want to talk about Shane McMahon no more. Triple H versus Randy Orton. I'm gonna say Triple H. Their promo was really good, though. That was a good promo on Monday. But who do you say? You said Randy. I'm going with Triple H. Why are you going with Randy?
Randy, I feel like, needs it more, and he's still wrestling, so I feel like Randy's going to win.
Who did he fight last time at Super Showdown? That was Taker. What is with Triple H in these last standing matches? It's like, damn, Triple H? They always got to be in. Okay. I would like for him to be controlling things more in the ring. I'm over that. Intercontinental Championship. Finn Balor versus Andrade. And apparently, it's not just Finn Balor. It's the Demon King. I hate that they're announcing it. You know, in NXT, there was that surprise factor. But now it's like the Demon's going to show up at all the pay-per-views. So who do you have? I think that Finn's going to retain.
Finn, if he's the Demon, so he has to.
Yeah, the Demon can't lose. I mean, the Demon can lose, but it's the whole, you know, gimmick of the Demon that the Demon doesn't lose. All right, next up, Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley.
Bobby.
Oh, really? This match is something I don't really care about this match. Well, my care meter of Super Showdown out of 10 is about a solid 3. Whatever. I'm at like a solid two. I'm a solid 3 because I just like pay-per-views. I like shows in general. So
I'll be at work tomorrow when it's on. So you know, that's the great thing about the WWE Network, though.
You can always watch it again,
and you can have it on your phone at work. Because
why not?
I don't do shit anyway. Supposedly,
because why not?
I do work at work. I don't want nobody from my job hearing this and thinking I don't work at work.
All right. Next up, we have Lars Sullivan versus the Lucha House Party.
Lars. We don't need to spend much time on this.
Okay, moving on. I agree. Yes. Okay. The Usos versus the Revival.
I did not know this match was on the
card. This is the kickoff match.
The kickoff.
Yes.
More and more disrespect being shown, but
going to talk about the fact that Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins have been missing since WrestleMania.
Yes.
What the fuck? They've been missing. I think they told them like maybe once or twice.
You know what? We got time today, y'all. So the disrespect that has been shown to the tag team division on Monday Night Raw and also Tuesday and also SmackDown Live, mm-hmm. is like, you have some of the best tag team. You have the Usos and the Revival, two of the best tag teams in the world. And you're putting them on a kickoff show and the titles aren't involved. Listen, it was funny that Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder won the titles at Mania. But guess what? Joke's over. Joke is over. We get it. Joke's over.
What do you think about the Revival, the people that, the team that was talking about leaving WWE, and there were talks of them jumping ship to AEW, that they're now aligned with Shane McMahon?
Listen, I don't know what it means to be aligned with Shane McMahon. I think guys being aligned with Shane McMahon to me is a joke these days, because Shane's a joke these days. Like, I feel like he's one of those things. He's like, it was cool when he first came back because he was like you said, like he was saving us from the Undertaker. Like, he was saving us from the Authority. And that was cool. But now he's just like the corny old dad who won't go away.
Like, he's that uncle at the cookout that just keeps popping up.
Yes, like uncle. All right, we get it. You can go home now. It's just, I'm so sick of Shane. He's not entertaining anymore. I feel like this whole heel thing that he does, it could have worked. But I feel like you've just shoved him in our face. It's kind of like Roman. You get what I'm saying? But the Revival being aligned with him, back to the topic, it doesn't really mean anything to me. I mean, I feel like you have fucking Elias aligned with Shane, and he's fighting for the 24/7 championship. So I think it's one of those things like, oh, what mid-carder that we're misusing are we going to put with Shane this week? Because I think that they think Shane is a bigger star than he actually is.
He's not.
You get what I'm saying? So I think that by putting these younger guys with him, they call themselves giving the younger guys a rub. But in all actuality, Shane's corny, and we currently couldn't give a fuck about him right now. Like, we don't care. He's not interesting. The Roman thing, like, in what world would Roman Reigns beat Shane McMahon in a fight? Would Roman Reigns lose a fight to Shane McMahon?
Never.
Just wouldn't fucking happen.
No.
So,
at all.
You know, I don't know. I guess, you know, they think it's a rub when you get put with Shane, but I don't really think it does any favors for the Revival. And to be honest with you, we both admittedly been kind of turned off with WWE lately. We haven't been fans of the product and the way that they've been using certain people and doing certain things.
It's the execution that is really sending us for a loop.
This match right here between the Revival and the Revival and the Usos should be a match over the Raw Tag Team titles. They are the best tag teams on Raw. And speaking of Raw Tag Teams, we're kind of off topic. We're going to talk about a lot of shit this episode, guys. But where the hell have the War Raiders been, if that's their name? Are they the Viking Experience, the War Raiders? What are they being called these days?
Whatever. The ones that vacated the titles. Talk about vacating the titles of the Street Profits one on NXT, okay?
You know what?
Let me
ask you a question, though, Lakia. Do you? I feel like the War Raiders, they should have been in that match.
The War Raiders?
Yes.
Well, they vacated the title.
But I feel like that would have been a match that they could have been in and lost and not looked weak because nobody pinned them. They didn't even have to be involved in the finish.
They could have just said, this is kind of like with Ricochet and Aleister, how they had that last match.
Yeah, I'm going to be real. I feel like you losing your last NXT match, I feel like that's the way that you should go out in NXT. You get what I'm saying? Losing your last NXT match, putting over the younger talent. It just makes sense to me.
That's true. I've been watching a lot of the NXT TakeOver was absolutely phenomenal. It was amazing.
Yeah.
NXT is one of my favorite things to watch on the network, aside from all the documentary stuff. But I really have enjoyed NXT, and I enjoyed watching the combine that they did. Bianca Belair is a beast.
A beast.
She's a natural beast. I mean, if you guys haven't watched the combine, check that out. It's really, really good. Really, really good. But all one right, last let's get thing to... I wanted to add on Shane, though. One last thing I wanted to add is that you said that Shane being a heel is one thing. But I think that the irritating thing about Shane being a heel now is because we had that best in the world, right? And then the whole thing with him and The Miz, it made sense. This thing with Roman, it's like...
I mean, they've tried to...
I get why they brought Roman in, but now it's like you're dragging it. Like, The Miz, the whole thing with The Miz and Shane, like, that should have been left at WrestleMania. It really should have been left at WrestleMania, but they kept going with it. Then they brought Roman, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's just, it's too much. But I feel like the thing with Shane is that they're not, while they had a good thing with Shane and The Miz, I really did like that storyline. This whole thing with Roman, aside from it being contradicting, a Roman put his hands on my father, you just don't do that, says the man that punched Miz's father in the face. Whatever. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But I just feel like at this point they're dragging it, and now it's like, I know that it's storyline, but when you start disrespecting someone's family and their heritage, it just always rubs me the wrong way. That's just
I'm actually the opposite, and maybe it's because, you know, I just lack some common respect sometimes, but I actually like when that's brought in the storylines. I think it makes it more real. Like, I'm a fan of that personally.
No, I'm not a fan of you bringing up family, but when you want to go and like dive deeper into like the whole Samoan thing and the talking about who already were wrestlers, and because Stephanie said it to Roman too, when she was about to smack him that time, she said it to him too, like, your father basically, you know, he worked for us, he's beneath us, kind of thing. That's typical, but there are some things where they kind of push the envelope and it's to the point of disrespect. So that just rubs me the wrong way, personally, but whatever. And then last thing on the Usos, shout out to the Usos for being one of the greatest tag teams, okay?
Ever.
They are so in sync and so on the same page. We were talking about this earlier. They are so on the same page, and I'm loving it. I love their matches. And this match with the Revival, even though it's a kickoff, I didn't even know there was a kickoff for this shit. I thought it was just going to be whatever. But that they're going against each other. If the Usos are going to go against anybody, I'm glad that it's like actual competition and not like a wash match. Then last but not least, the 50-man Battle Royal.
Who's do you have any confirmed names for this match?
No. None.
But you know what?
With the Battle Royal, yeah, we did talk about a little bit about Showdown in the last episode. We just went more in depth this time. But the thing with the Battle Royal is that we have the 24/7 title in play now. So I think that's going to be.
Yeah, I could see them doing
involved in the Battle Royal, which will make it a little more entertaining.
Yeah, I could see that happening as well.
Okay, so they're saying that Tony Nese, Matt Hardy, Jinder Mahal, No Way Jose, the Singh brothers are among those that are going to be in. Yeah. Oh, also, Battle Royal has Elias, Mojo Rawley, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson, because they're not doing anything else.
Drew, is McIntyre confirmed for that?
I don't know. McIntyre is probably going to get involved in the Roman match, to be honest.
Yeah, I could see that playing out as well. Because I heard that, aren't they going to fight each other at Stomping Grounds?
Yes. Yes. That's another thing that should have been left at WrestleMania, damn it.
Yes, I believe. And you know what? You know what? We'll get to more of that later in the episode. But I'm gonna have to go with. I think Drew will win the Battle Royal. Let me just throw that out. He may not even be in it, but I don't really care. But I think Drew will win.
I think 50 men in a Battle Royal is ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. I agree 100%. Who are you picking?
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm like so not. I don't even know who. It's 50 people. What the hell? I think that is gonna. My theory is that it's gonna end with something to do with the 24/7 title. That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? Since we're on this, I heard somebody give like a I feel like this match kind of should have been like, you have Ray. He came out and he dropped the U.S. title this week. Mm-hmm. You know what would have made the stakes for this match even bigger? If this was for like the U.S. title or something. You get what I'm saying? Like, if this was for the U.S. title, I feel like
it would. Unfortunately, the U.S. title is a glorified jobber position.
Unfortunately.
That's just what it's become, you know?
I mean, but I remember when we were kids, I'm not saying the U.S. title was ever, you know, the biggest title, but I remember a time when the U.S. title was cool.
It was John Cena. That's when John Cena was giving us that ruthless aggression, you know? That's what it was then. But moving on from Super Showdown, we'll talk about that, the aftermath, in another episode. I have been waiting. I have been so excited to talk about Mox. That's what I call him. Mox. John Moxley. He did two podcasts.
Yes.
The first one was Talk is Jericho with
Chris Look here. I think, and this is something, I'm sorry to cut you off. I think we officially may be more than a WWE podcast now.
I think so.
Yes, because AEW, is gonna make we're gonna be talking about AEW, you know, as they make their debut on TNT in the fall. You won't catch us paying $60 or $50 or whatever the outrageous price.
We'll catch it if it's streaming. You know, we got connects to stream it, but
yeah,
because we don't even pay for like once you get the WWE Network, you don't have to shell out. But even we were streaming. You know how we were streaming for WWE before the network came along.
Yes, we're gonna.
We're not paying for AEW. Okay. But John Moxley, he did two interviews. He did the Talk is Jericho with Chris Jericho, and then Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. It was, I mean, this episode might be able to rival the length of that one because that one was so long. It was cut into two segments. One was an hour and a half, and then the other one was 2 hours. But I would say when you take out the commercials and stuff, if you're listening to it on Apple, I would say that it was a solid 2.5 hours. Maybe three. Closer to three. Because the commercials in between the ads, they were annoying. Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Wade Keller, he's known, like, his ads are so, and I'm a fan of Wade Keller's podcast. You know,
he does have a platform where you can listen to them ad free, but I'm not paying.
I refuse.
I'm not doing it.
And let's say this about the Half Right podcast. We will never make you try to make anybody pay to listen to us.
No.
Never.
We want it to be organic. This is nothing high tech. This is two wrestling fans, two sports fans. Because as Alfonso said, we're going to be bringing more sports into the fold. And I think that it's only right that we do, because as WWE is trying to expand, you should watch the Triple H WrestleMania documentary that they did. I don't know if it was like a Chronicles or something. I still have to watch the Ronda Rousey one. But the Triple H one, he was basically saying that the transition now is to make WWE seem more as a sport. And I think that with the Half Right podcast, that's why it's not like called a wrestling podcast or anything. The whole point of this was, you know, sometimes right, always real. And we really want to expand more past wrestling. Wrestling is just, you know, what we love, and it's always going to be the forefront of the podcast. But I mean, down the line, especially this upcoming football season, we're going to have a series with all that. But that's just a little tidbit on what's to come, and we hope you guys stick around for that. But back to John Moxley. Which podcast did you like better, Alfonso?
We talked about this off the air. I was a bigger fan of the Wade Keller one, because those are the questions that Wade Keller was asking are questions that, like, I feel like me or you, we would ask, mm-hmm. you know, we would ask, we would ask, you know, Moxley. I feel like those are questions that we would ask. So I'm going to have to go with the Wade Keller podcast. They were both phenomenal. I love Jericho. You know, they were both great podcasts, but
I and just... And the thing is that they were both great podcasts because Moxley was a great interviewee. Like, he was just, the answers that he was giving was just raw. And he got straight to the point. I personally like the Chris Jericho one better because he is getting straight to the point. It's like coming down off that high of AEW and appearing there. And it's like, you have to listen to them and you have to listen to the Talk Is Jericho one. I would recommend before you listen to the Wade Keller one.
The Jericho one
touches the surface, but then when you get into the Wade Keller one, he brings up things from the Talk Is Jericho podcast, and then Moxley goes more in depth, and we'll interchangeably use Moxley and Dean Ambrose, same fucking person, you guys get it. But definitely, I like the Chris Jericho one. I like the energy of that one. But there's a lot to cover from that interview. What stood out to you? Because I have things that stood out to me that he said.
And which part? The Wade Keller one?
Just in general.
The things that stood out to me in the Wade Keller one was when he was talking about, you know, the Brock match.
Oh, that was good.
And, you know, the things that he wanted to do in the Brock match and the bumps that he wanted to take. And Dean says in the Wade Keller podcast that he felt as though they were willing to give him the match, but they were never really willing to, you know, put it. It wasn't really an important match on the show. So, you know.
But one of the bigger things is that he said that they're afraid of Brock.
Which they are, which we already figured that they are.
Just like he was saying with how the Shield, what was it, SummerSlam, how they were supposed to reunite then.
Yes.
But then Brock came in and changed everything.
Yeah.
And they had to do it the following night, and it was still a pop or whatever. The Shield, no matter where they reunite, it's always going to be a pop. That's not an issue. But, you know, Brock just seems to come in and he's uninterested. And I made a note of this. And my own notes is that Brock at this point, he doesn't give a crap about WWE. He's not really helping the brand other than, and I mean helping the brand as in the superstars there, because he doesn't want to give anything to the superstars that are potentially competing against him. Because when you are showing up to WrestleMania a couple hours before the show, it's like you didn't prep anything. It just really goes to show that you just don't give a shit. And these are the kind of, this is where I think it differs between Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey. Granted, this is Ronda Rousey's first go round in WWE, but it speaks to her work ethic that she's willing to, you know, put it all on the line. Whereas with Brock, he's there for a paycheck. And he also mentioned that in the interview, that, you know, there's people that have a passion for wrestling, and then there's people that are just there for a paycheck. He doesn't knock the people that are there for a paycheck, but, you know, it's different when you are shooting out all these ideas, and it's frustrating creatively to, it's not about getting what you want. And I think that the interview itself could have rubbed people the wrong way from him, like, venting the way that he did. And I didn't see it as him throwing WWE under the bus. I see it as him being an ex-employee that was creatively frustrated, and all he wanted to do was do the best for his character and give the fans the best. But it's not just about the boss doing everything that you say, but it's when you are trying and then no one is giving in, you're not getting anything in return. It's very frustrating. It's nothing organic about it. So the whole thing about them being afraid of Brock, I could not agree more. Brock now is just there for a paycheck, and he's not going anywhere. especially with this Fox deal coming up. And this Fox deal is going to be talked about a lot because WWE is taking the next step in crossing into the sports realm with this Fox deal. Because USA is tied to NBC. NBC, yeah, they have NBC Sports, but Fox is known. You know, Fox Sports. Fox is not known for great news, but they're known for their sports. So this is what Triple H was talking about, of this whole crossing, basically crossing that bridge into full-on sports. So that's what they're, it, that's what Brock is there for, but he's annoying. But we're going to have to deal with it.
Yes.
He's not going anywhere. So that was a tidbit on Brock. That was a huge chunk because he had mentioned Brock at various points. For the Chris Jericho podcast, he didn't really talk about it, but he did talk about it in the Wade Keller one. Is there anything else that stood out to you?
His relationship with Vince stood out to me a lot in the podcast. I feel like Vince McMahon. You have a star like Dean Ambrose. You let Dean Ambrose be Dean Ambrose. You get what I'm saying? Obviously, he had to tone down his character because of, you know, being in WWE and stuff like that. But I just feel like the stories that he would say, the stuff Vince would have him do and say and how unhappy he was at WWE, it kind of validates the way that Sasha Banks feels. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of weird because everybody's like, oh, Sasha's a baby, Sasha's a crybaby. But when Dean says he's unhappy, everybody, oh, you get what I'm saying?
It holds more weight.
It holds more weight. But when Sasha is not coming to work and she's unhappy because they tell her one thing and do another, it's not that big of a deal. You get what I'm saying? Right. But the minute that Sasha said she was unhappy, she was a crybaby, ungrateful, this and that. But
stay Dean, away, go home.
Dean's unhappy and really gives reasons, and he's really in depth with why he's unhappy, and everybody's applauding him for, you know, which he should be applauded. He didn't like the situation he was in. And he left it. You get what I'm saying? So I applaud Dean for that. But like, come on. It's totally unfair for us to treat Sasha one way, but when Dean says he's unhappy, we give it meaning. You get what I'm saying?
Right. That's what I also tweeted about on Twitter. It's like, if Sasha were to come back tomorrow and win the title, don't say, oh my God, thank you, Sasha. Don't say that shit, because you guys were the same people that were tweeting about how she's nothing. How can you be so ungrateful? As you said, stop being a crybaby. And then you have people backstage like Rusev and Lana talking shit about Sasha. Alexa Bliss don't like Sasha either. But I mean, you have all these. When you have not, I feel for Sasha because she's in a position where you have people that are not just your colleagues talking shit, but you also have the universe of fans talking shit. So it's like she's getting it from both ends. And she's showing on Instagram that she is, you know, living life right now, exploring and everything. But I would have to say that it's a little bit bittersweet. It's bittersweet because she is someone that lives and breathes wrestling. And when you can't do that, it doesn't matter where the hell you go and how much you're traveling. It's bittersweet.
Agreed. But we're not even going to talk about Rusev and Lana. Lana's beautiful, but Lana didn't say anything bad about Sasha, did she?
She's connected to Sasha. And let me put it like this. There's some beef there because they don't follow each other on Instagram. Okay?
Oh, man, this generation, and if you don't follow somebody on
Instagram, it's true.
I don't follow you on Instagram. Yes, I do.
It is true. If you don't follow somebody.
I don't know. I just feel as though the Dean interview really gave us some insight into, and then this is a really important one when he talked about the stuff that Vince McMahon made him, about how uncomfortable he was with some of the stuff Vince McMahon made him, made him say during the whole Roman beef. And I feel like that was just messed up on Vince's part, because this is this man's friend.
Right. And he not only mentioned that in the Jericho podcast, he talked about it again in the Wade Keller one.
Like, this is this man's friend. And he just announced that he's dealing with, you know, this is real life. This isn't no game. This is real life. Mm-hmm. And for Vince to just, I understand using certain stuff in storylines, and I understand why Vince used it. You know, it was going to get Dean heat, but if Dean was uncomfortable with it, then I feel like he shouldn't have been, you know, coerced in the saying. You get what I'm saying?
Right. But it also speaks to that, like, Vince is a fucking idiot, because you have your daughter and your son-in-law advocating for pediatric cancer, okay? Then you have it followed up by Susan G. Komen, breast cancer awareness, and you're going to have Dean Ambrose go out there and talk shit about one of his best friends having cancer. That's not a storyline. That was real shit, as you said. That's real life. So that's, and for us, it kind of hits like really personal, because our mom did die of lung cancer, and that's just not something that you play about. It doesn't matter what kind of cancer it is. It's not something that you, it's not a joke. It's never funny. It's actually disrespectful to all those families that are dealing with it, all the patients that are going through it. It's just not something that you should, you know, as we said before, using Roman's illness as a, you know, a lighter to refuel that feud between Seth and Dean, it couldn't have been more perfect timing, because at that point, the Shield was dead, right? But to go further and to, you know, really push the, you know, it just, he's an idiot. I don't respect that at all. I would expect more from Vince McMahon, but then again,
he is Vince McMahon.
You can only get so much. Some of the other stuff that he talked about, I'm looking at the Wade Keller thing that he posted. Let's see. Oh, he was talking about promos and how he cut the AEW promo. And it was like super easy, whereas the one with WWE, he had to, there's like twofold. There's some that are live, there's some that are pre-recorded, but then the ones that are pre-recorded, if Vince doesn't approve, then you have to refilm it. And then it came a point where they were refilming during the matches because they couldn't do it in between matches because of the sound. And it was just like a whole ring around the rosy kind of thing. And I will say that for WWE to want to cross over into sports, why are your promos, you know, not having that sports edge to it where it's live? You know, like, if you look at when you have the sports broadcasters on like First Take, and if you look at like the NBA finals, like all that stuff is like, you know, real time. Not saying that they don't cut promos in between or whatever, but it's real time, you know? And for WWE to want to be seen as like a real sport, real sports, they say things live. It's not 100% live when you have pre-recorded promos. It's just not. So what do you think about the promo part?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, why are they not given more control over promos? It kind of doesn't make sense to me. Like, why are they not given, like, more control over what they say? Like, I understand, like, you work for a company, but Vince is obviously not writing good shit.
Even though he calls it good shit.
Yes. Why is, like, why why are you not getting more of an input from your talent? Mm-hmm. Some of these guys, like a guy like Dean Ambrose, you clearly saw from that podcast, this man, he loves professional wrestling. You get me? So he loves professional wrestling. So why are you not getting inputs from a guy like Dean Ambrose? This guy is passionate about what he does. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like a guy like that should have more input over his character and what he says or does. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I feel like that's why the story's like, Dean Ambrose, he also said no writer can write for him. Like, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I feel like it would bring, like, if you have two wrestlers and you let them write their own stuff and, you know, it gets approved. But Vince, I feel like, is so stuck, and he's going to be who he's going to be. You get what I'm saying? And Dean pretty much said this. There's no changing him. He's stuck in his ways, and that's him. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Vince, you know, what he is a genius. He built an empire. The man's a billionaire. So, you know, but I just feel like his way of thinking is so outdated in this world of wrestling. He doesn't understand what people want. And, you know, I think maybe it's kind of unfair to say that because we wanted Kofi Kingston as WWE champion at WrestleMania. He gave us that. We wanted Becky Lynch as WWE women's champion at Mania. He gave us that. We wanted Seth as Universal. So he still gives us things that we want. It's just the things that he does wrong are just totally outweighing the things that he does well these days.
Right. And that makes it difficult to be completely committed to a product. And, you know, people on Twitter say all the time is that WWE fans are never grateful. It's great that we get this stuff no matter how long we had to wait to get it, because it's not like we wanted Becky to be champion and then it happened overnight. It was a build, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with Kofi. Kofi was never supposed to be in the title picture. Never. Thankfully, Ali got hurt and we got lucky. Yes. That was pure luck. Because Kofi was never supposed to be in the forefront like this. And I'm so happy that he accidentally got his chance and it worked in his favor. But this was never supposed to happen, you know? But I also, you know, piggybacking off of what you said with Dean and the writers and no one being able to write for him, is that he also felt torn because, you know, he had talked to Jericho and Jericho, you know, told him, you know, you have to advocate for yourself with Vince and gave him tips on how to approach Vince. But also, he couldn't go off the script so much because the wrestlers are not afraid of losing their jobs. Whereas the creative team, they will get fired at this, you know, oh, they went off script. Your fault. You're fired. And, you know, he didn't want that to be on his conscience of I'm the reason why they lost their job. You know, they have families, they have, you know, bills to pay, people to feed. And it's just like, it's, I would rather say the bullshit that he's asking me to say than to put some, like, than to ask somebody out, for lack of better terms. So that was one thing that was like, no surprise there, because the creative team interchanges so much. And you can look at the people that, you know, he talked a lot about Michael Hayes. He even talked about Jamie Noble. And we see them a lot backstage when there's doing promos and stuff. And if you're watching behind the scenes stuff, we see them. But it just sucks that the creative team is interchanged like that. And I think that because the creative team is not solid and it's not really a unit, that you have all these people in a revolving door and it's reflective in the product. There's nothing really cohesive about what's going on. And I think that that's starting to really, really show. And him saying that is like, a lot of what he said is stuff that we were already thinking. He just confirmed it. This is not like a guy that was working backstage at one point, or he was a ring announcer. He worked in the WWE. He was a wrestler in the WWE. And to be able to hear from that point of view, you know. He also talked about the Austin podcast that he did.
Yes, yes, yes. The infamous Austin podcast that didn't get the best reviews.
So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I respect his, you know, he said that there was private questions that he didn't want to be asked. But, you know, I feel like if that was the case, I feel like, but in his position, he was the WWE champion. He really couldn't say no. He did say that he was uncomfortable with those questions. But, I mean, I believe that those are the best podcasts, you know, mm-hmm. when people are, like, open and honest. You get what I'm saying? And if you listen to most of Stone Cold's podcast, you know, and Stone Cold's been doing podcasts for a while, you know, and I feel like that's kind of on Dean. I feel like because you know the type of podcast that Stone Cold does, and you know he gets personal and asks personal questions. That's kind of on you. I don't know if he spoke to Stone Cold before the podcast. You know, told him what questions were off limits. You get what I'm saying? I don't believe that he did that. I don't believe I think Stone Cold was told. I don't believe he was in the wrong because that's just the way he conducts podcasts. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that's just the way that he does things. So, you know,
I think that when it comes to the podcast, though. We have to give a little bit of, you know, we got to give a little bit to Dean, though, because you being the WWE champion, you have to conduct yourself a certain way. Like, now that he is out of WWE and he feels liberated, very, very liberated, he is speaking with no holds barred. And that's the kind of character that we got out of him anyway, but now we're seeing that this character was not just a character, that it's really who he is. That passion, that fire is him as a person. But when it comes to the podcast, someone's asking you uncomfortable questions, and he said that he was on the road, and when you're on the road for, you know, weeks on end, and then you have to go do this and you have to go do that, I think that he was just kind of bad timing for the podcast.
Bad timing. He also... He did say
he did. He said it like two or three times, actually.
That he'd be looking forward to. So unload on WWE again, but I feel like this is another thing. I feel like guys leave the company. I didn't get a sense that this interview was totally different from the ones that I feel like Dean, he didn't really sound bitter. You know, he was thankful for the time that he worked there. He met, you know, so he had some great times in WWE. It just wasn't, you get what I'm saying? Things weren't working out anymore. So, you know, I think this was, he gave good insight, you know, on his time there. He didn't really, it's hard to give an interview about WWE without really, you get what I'm saying, like, burying them.
And yeah, but for everything that he was burying, he was also giving Vince's, you know, his credit. His props. So he wasn't excluding that. There was a couple more things that I had on my list. Another thing was when he talked about guys that are overused, and then there's guys that haven't seen them. Apollo Crews, haven't seen them. Mojo Rawley, even the Raw Tag Team Champion, MIA. So you have guys that are literally just sitting there, but then on the other hand, you have guys that are always there, like a Seth Rollins, a Roman Reigns. You have Becky Lynch, Charlotte, is always going to be there. And he said that there are a lot of matches that are not only the same matches and the same opponent, they are pay-per-view worthy matches that are given away on TV.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I would agree. There are a lot of matches that, you know, shouldn't be given away on free TV. And just like you said, there are matches that, you know, we feel as though should have a build to them. You get what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. they have no build. They feel as though they have no stakes. You get what I'm saying? So,
like, for me right now, one of the most underrated, you know, wrestling rivalries is Cesaro and Ricochet. Ricochet is the most entertaining wrestler in the WWE to me right now. He's different. The stuff that he does, I've never, ever seen it done before. He is mesmerizing. I love Ricochet in the ring. And his matches with Cesaro have been, for the past, 3 weeks, I would say? Yeah, because they just had a rubber match. They have been the best on Raw, period.
Agreed.
So, that's one thing. And then he also talked about with AEW, he doesn't know how long this... Well, I don't know if he said he didn't know or if he just didn't disclose that information. We don't know how long, you know, the AEW show is going to be.
Hopefully, too.
But also, my thing is that AEW is basically like New Japan in America, if you think about it. That's literally what it is. And I'm just interested in what it is that they're going to do, because you have these New Japan wrestlers, because Dean, John Moxley, is now the New Japan United States United Champion. Is that what it is?
I believe it's the... I think that's what it is.
The United... Something. The same title that he won in WWE is the same title that he won in New Japan as his first title. I find that ironic. But going back to AEW, it's like, are they taking everything from New Japan? Is there like a deal here or something? I'm still not letting go my theory of WWE being a silent investor. We'll have to see what happens with that, if they're actually involved or not. But as he said, the 3 hours, it's a lot of TV to fill. And then by that third hour, everyone's tired. Mick Foley has been saying that WWE is trying to bring that attitude element back to the third hour of Raw. SmackDown is the length that it needs to be. 2 hours. And honestly, Raw does not need to be 3 hours. It just doesn't. By that third hour, you're either tuned out, exhausted, or barely paying attention. I think the amount of people that are actually watching that third hour is like... And I also don't even think that people are watching the beginning of the show anymore, because you know that you're not going to get a wrestling match until about 8:30, when the promo is like 15, 20 minutes in the beginning, and then you cut to commercial, and then you might come back to a match. So that's a lot of the frustration that the WWE fans are venting about. And I would have to agree with what Moxley said about 3 hours being a lot of TV, but only time will tell, and we'll really be able to go more in depth and judge as far as AEW, because right now, everybody that's saying that AEW is better, I don't understand how you can say something is better off of one show. That show might have been entertaining, but you can't compare one show to the legacy that WWE has built. You honestly can't even compare it to TNA. And I'm talking about TNA when it was good. These are established promotions. AEW doesn't have anything right now. What you have are guys that wrestled in WWE. You have guys that have wrestled in TNA. You have guys that have wrestled in New Japan. And you all still have this passion about wrestling, and you want to bring that to the forefront and get fans excited and involved again, and you made AEW. It's like, I feel that AEW, that's one thing that they have is the passion, and everybody that is like currently involved really, really feels it. But I'm interested in seeing what they're going to do as far as TV. I don't want this to be a case of WCW, but can they compete with WWE when it comes to ratings? Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe so.
But it depends on the day that they're showing it, because you can't say that, oh, we're dropping it on Tuesday when you have SmackDown. You have SmackDown on Tuesday, but isn't it going to be moving when it goes to Fox in the fall?
Yes, to Friday. So I think,
I don't see AEW having it on a Friday. And if they want to compare it to NXT, NXT you can watch over on the network. So it's like, what are you really competing in? The only thing that you're going to be competing in is that someone else is something else. The thing that WCW had over WWE was that they were going at it in the war because they were on the same night. But AEW, that doesn't seem to be the case. And even if it was, like, we can't judge. So all the people that are saying AEW is their favorite promotion, like, I just saw this guy tweet about it. He's talking about, oh, it's Tag Me In Bro on Instagram. And he gave his top... He gave his top entertaining promotions. NXT was first, New Japan, AEW, SD Live, PWG, NXT UK, MLW Raw, 205 Live, Impact.
What was his number one again?
His number one was NXT.
His number two?
New Japan. And then number three was AEW.
How can that be?
I don't know. That's my thing. I don't understand how AEW can be so far up when there's been nothing. You're really basing this off of, this is why like AEW kind of has like, you know, some momentum behind it based off these Moxley interviews that are being pushed out. But also when you have, you know, Double or Nothing and you have like Money in the Bank, thankfully there was NXT TakeOver, which saved WWE at the moment. It gave, you know, it brought some of the fans back in, but WWE fans in general are wishy-washy.
Very.
Can't really trust them anyway. It's a wishy-washy group of people. We are a confused
group of human beings.
It's a wishy-washy group of people. Someone else had New Japan, GCW, and AEW as their top three. Then the guy that made AEW their three, he said, I don't, but he said, oh, someone said, wish I had time to watch all that wrestling. He said, I don't, but I just goddamn love wrestling, so I fit in here and there when I can. I don't watch full Raw or SmackDown anymore, which really helps. Lots of shows I binge watch 3 to 4 weeks at a time to catch up. I often watch with spoilers because it would be impossible to watch live TV. Okay, that's great. But I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, the whole AEW thing. But it's also a great time to be a wrestling fan. There's so much competition out here, so many things to watch. And I'm excited to see what AEW does, but I can't sit here and say that they're better.
Yeah, you can't.
Than WWE and that they're going to take over.
It's too soon.
WWE. I don't see it happening after the pay-per-view. And I've basically seen all of the matches from Double or Nothing, and the pre-show is available on YouTube in its entirety. But I don't feel like it's fair to say that it's this high up on your list, and I feel like it's that high up because people are wanting something more with it. They're wanting it to be that war that, you know, everybody is hinting at, that Dean Ambrose has hinted at more than once.
You know what?
He wants it to be a war. He doesn't want it to, you know, interfere with any of his friends. But he wants
You know what I feel like, though? I feel like a lot of these AEW guys, you know, they keep saying, oh, you know, we're not comparing ourselves to WWE. But then you got weird shit like Cody destroying the throne. Like, everything you do, you're comparing yourself to WWE. Like, it's you claim you don't. That is the be all end all. If you're not fighting to be better than WWE, then what do you have a show for? They are the biggest wrestling company ever. When people think wrestling, they think WWE. You know?
Exactly.
And the thing that AEW, you know, and they've said this, they must be aware of, is, you know, creating their own stars.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel as,
like I just said, where are all their stars coming from? They didn't make a Kenny Omega. He was already made in Japan. They didn't make a Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes talking about, you know, there's more than one royal family in wrestling. Yeah, you came from Dusty Rhodes, but bro, your career was made in WWE. That's where you started.
Yes.
Dean Ambrose, people may know, oh, John Moxley, indeed John Moxley. You spent most of your time in WWE. WWE is the reason that AEW is going to get all that momentum from you. And he said it himself in the Talk is Jericho podcast, is that people can look at AEW and go, hey, that's that guy from WWE. Let me see what he's doing.
Yes.
So he said it himself. So you saying that AEW has to, you know, generate these new characters and this talent, I want to know where it's coming from. Because right now, everybody that they have or everybody that they've shown, like you taking, like Triple H takes people from, he's taking a lot of people from Japan.
Yes.
And he's developing their characters here. And then when they go to WWE's main roster, they get shitted on. But anyway. The difference is that you have the people in AEW right now, they're not up and comers. They're established. They're title winners. They're champions. They're known.
Yes.
You don't have to be a, you know, a wrestling guru to know who the hell Kenny Omega is at this point.
Yes, 100%.
You don't have to be that to know who Dean Ambrose is. Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, The Shield. Same thing with, everybody knows who the hell Chris Jericho is. Chris Jericho has been everywhere. Cody Rhodes, people know who he is. I even know who the Young Bucks are. I knew who Adam Cole was before he went to NXT. It's like there's so many ways to learn who these people are, but the people that you have are not up and comers. When I look at the women that were fighting, those are up and comers, like Britt Baker, who is Adam Cole's girlfriend. Yes. Awesome Kong is not. She's not an up and comer.
But I believe that Awesome Kong thing was like more of a one off. I don't think she's gonna be there with the company permanently.
I think that was great they brought her out
there. Yeah. She's a legend, and she's the first ever big woman, like, you know, bigger woman wrestler that I ever saw, and really that she caught my attention was Awesome Kong in TNA. So, you know, bringing her out there, she has name recognition. She never really became anything in WWE, you know.
No, she was Carmen in WWE. She came out and squashed Michelle McCool on her last night. And then, if I'm not mistaken, what was it? She got, like, pregnant.
Yeah, she got pregnant. And then they used her in a rumble. You know, her run never became what it should have been. I believe...
It wasn't a run.
Yeah, it wasn't a run.
It wasn't even a run.
It was literally two appearances.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to be real with you. At that time, WWE still wasn't taking women seriously. Maybe it was a blessing that, you know... She didn't have a run. Maybe it was a blessing, you know.
The last thing I want to touch on is a point that Dean made about there being so much talent in WWE, some of the best talent that there has been, and it's not being used correctly. And this goes back to the point of guys being overused and underused. And I'm just hoping that what my hope for AEW is that they light a fire under WWE's ass and that they are successful. But I don't care what they say. I don't think that they're taking AEW seriously right now.
WWE, I don't think so.
I don't think they are. It's not a product that has any. It It doesn't, I'm not saying that it doesn't have legitimacy behind it, because as I just stated, all the mega players that you have, it's literally like the Olympic team with Jordan and all them. That's what AEW is right now. You have all these Olympic players, all these elite players, and, you know, you have a LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. People are going to tune in for those names alone. Period.
Period.
So I hope that AEW does light a fire under WWE's ass, but I don't think that WWE is phased right now. And my hope for WWE is that Vince takes a break and comes back in 2020. Well, the XFL. But hopefully, when is the XFL coming? Vince will then turn all his attention to the XFL and try to get that off the ground and leave WWE the hell alone.
Even though I doubt that he'll.
I doubt it, but wishful thinking.
I doubt that he'll do that, but who knows?
Speaking of the XFL, former Steelers quarterback, my favorite, Landry Jones, not. He's participating in an XFL workout. That's fucking funny.
You're not a Landry Jones fan?
Absolutely not.
What's wrong with Landry Jones?
Screw Landry.
He was pretty decent at Oklahoma.
Listen, Landry, his own mother didn't come see him play. That should say something.
Come on, Lakia. You're just... We gotta wrap things up now, because you're just...
I'm being serious. I'm saying we're going to be talking about a little bit of everything. But yeah, 2020 is when the XFL is coming, with WWE being half owner and NBC owning the other half. So hopefully he'll take his half ownership ass over to XFL, yes, and torture the people over there and leave us the fuck alone over.
He's going to be big mad. He cannot control the... He can't control the outcome of a football game.
He can't.
Well, he's a billionaire. He can rig whatever he wants.
Yeah, I know.
So we got everything covered this episode. Well, there's obviously things in the wrestling world that we didn't talk about that we don't care enough to talk about,
But we talked about Super Showdown, which but most importantly, we were able to really go in depth with this Dean Ambrose, John Moxley interview, and best of luck to him. Yes, and I'll be tuning in the fall.
I think as wrestling fans, the best thing that can happen is AEW succeeds, because if AEW succeeds, it's going to force WWE to, just like John Moxley said, it is going to force WWE to change their way of, you know, that they do business. It's going to force them
to basically take the product and get it the fuck together.
Yes. Yes. Like, it's a good thing. We as wrestling fans should be rooting for AEW to succeed.
But as wrestling fans, you should be happy that this is still relevant. You know,
yes,
wrestling is still relevant, which goes to show that the audience is evolving. Even though people are growing up, it's still ever changing. And WWE is in a rough spot. You know, he's kind of going back to that gimmicky type shit when it was the blurred line between Attitude Era and having to fight for his life. But Vince is not in a position where he has to fight for his life. He's not where he was, you know, 20 years ago, and this was happening with WCW. He's in a different space. He is a billionaire. It doesn't matter what AEW does. It's not going to affect WWE. I would love for it to change the programming, but, like, financially, it's not going to put them out of business.
You know what I was listening to? I was listening to the State of Combat podcast, you know, from CBS Sports, hosted by... you know, Brian Campbell, and he said something that was so funny to me. And he was like, what if Stephanie and Triple H start having marital problems? And Triple H isn't the one who takes over WWE after Vince, you know.
I honestly don't think that they're gonna ever.
Yes, never, never. But
I don't think that that's not just, even like in the just, cards. They're so freaking in love. It's kind of annoying. Was just,
we think. You never know what's really going on, Lakia.
I mean, but at the Hall of Fame, when he looked at her and said, Steph, forever, when a guy just gives you one word, there's nothing that needs to be said. Mm. He didn't go on and on. He said one word, and that was all she needed. I haven't
found my one word girl yet, so, you know.
I hope that everybody does one day.
I'm going to keep looking.
You do that.
Oh, man.
But that wraps it up for this episode.
I was saying, oh, man, because I just, you know, got hit with a reversal in WWE 2K. But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Half Right Podcast. We're going to be back next week. I'm about to go to bed. I don't know what my sister's about to do, but we will.
It's 12:43 a.m. It's about that time.
We will catch you guys later. See ya.
That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @HalfRight_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.